All right, amen. Living by faith. Good to see y'all back here this evening. We'll be in Mark chapter number 4. Continuing our studies through the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 26. We'll read the rest of the chapter and maybe we'll get done with chapter 4 this evening. Mark chapter number 4. The flyer for the youth camp is up already, and the date that we're going has been circled. It's Brother Shane. There's five different preachers they have throughout the year, and we'll be going to see Brother Shane. So you can start to plan your summer on that. That's the teen extreme. The junior camp will be in July. This one's in June. So to help you start planning that, that's coming up. Don't forget Scripture Day coming up the end of month. Brother Clark, Brother Urban Clark will be with us. And start now asking God, Lord, what part would you have me to do and to take in purchasing paper for printing of your word? It's something that needs to be put forth in prayer. It's something you need to ask God about. And it's not your tithes. This is something above and beyond that. This is an offering unto God for the scripture prints. And there's no set amount for it. It's what God lays upon your heart. So you just seek God's face and begin to pray now. We'll start announcing it. We'll put it in the bulletin. We'll begin praying. An offering to God should always, always have prayer put to it. It's not your tithe. Tithe is something that's just what the Bible says you do. You make $100 and $10 goes to the Lord. You make $1,000, $100 goes to the Lord. That's just how God worked it out. It's a very fair system in God's economy. You know? Tithe belongs to the Lord. That's His. That's not an option. That's just something you do because the Bible says do it. But an offering is something you pray about. Brother Jim may see that God touches his heart to give $100. Brother Adam may have $150. Brother Bernie might have $75. Brother Ray might have $5. Because that's what God lays on your heart. It's not a pressure deal. It's not something where we shake you up in a bag and hold you till you're claustrophobic and you say, okay, Uncle, I'll give $100. It's between you and the Lord. You pray now. And if you start now praying, it's a whole lot easier to know God's peace about something than if you wait till the 29th. You wait the morning of the 29th and say, Lord, okay, what you want me to give? And you open up your checkbook and say, oh, Lord, is this good? Is this good? It's easy to miss God's will on the thing. And you say, Lord, I've got $400 in here. I think I'm going to give $200 extra. And then the next day, you have two flat tires. You say, oh, how am I going to pay for these tires? Well, if you had been praying, God would have said, I only want you to give 50, 75, whatever. See, it's a meeting with God on this. It's all from the scripture press. It's an offering. Doesn't come here. Doesn't run lights. It's strictly used for printing God's word and getting God's word out to people that will use it for God's glory. So that's the 29th. Be in prayer about that. And then the men's retreat in February. The dates are up there. Go ahead and sign up. I encourage all of the men. Come and get some spiritual food so you might lead your family the way that we should. And enjoy the fellowship with the men of the church. Iron sharpeneth iron. So sign up and come and be a part of that. That there's in February. Love to have every last one of you go. There is a cost for that, but it'll probably be the best steak dinner you've had for $50 in a hotel night that you could ever hope to get. But if you don't get nothing but a bologna sandwich and the man of God preaches the word of God, it's well worth it. So if you can come, be a part of it, and you'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy the fellowship. You will. And we need to have godly men in our nation. Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 26. Mark chapter number 4, verse 26, the Bible says, "And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise in the night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Verse 30, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and sheweth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." Verse 33. "And with many such parables spake he word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." Verse 35. "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Verse 39. "And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" There we have the parable of the seed, beginning in verse 26 through 29. Now, we understand from studying prior verses in this chapter that the seed is the Word of God. And the ground, of course, is the world or lost men. There's it found in verse number 26. Now, the seed doesn't bring results immediately. We've got to wait for the results. And the thing is that we have no control over the process. You have no control over how this takes place. You open up the ground, you put the seed in, and the Bible says, though a man come day and night, he comes day and night, and he's there looking, trying to see, and the seed should spring growing, and he knoweth not how it happens. No controlling over this process. And let me tell you something, the harvest will come in due time. You can't make the seed grow any faster. You know, you may hope to, you may get you some, protecting growth, and you may put some covering, some water, some extra fertilizer. The seed is going to come up and come forth in its own due time. You're not going to rush the process make it come up any quicker than it comes. And understand, the Word is the seed, the Word of God. It is our job, according to the Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." It is our job that we are to plant the Word of God. We come along and we're to sow the Word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, as a preacher, as God's man, that I wish that whenever I preach the Word of God, that it would take root and grow forth immediately. But that's not how it works. I look at folks' lives. I look at people that are a wreck, and I've talked with people that that know not God as their personal Lord and Savior. And I wish that that very moment I could take the Word of God and I could show them and get them to understand and get them to grasp it. Sometimes it takes place that way. Sometimes you can present the gospel to them, and you can share the word of God with them, and immediately they get it, they grasp it, and they accept the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. But there's others that it takes time, it takes years, sometimes years, and sometimes months, sometimes constant, testimony before them and living good. This is why it's so important that we understand that it's not my job, it's not your job to bring the increase. The Bible's very plain that it is God's job that He'd bring the increase. Now flip yourself over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's look at that in a little bit more detail. Hold your place in Mark, because we're going to come back. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So you can mark it in your Bible or make a note there beside it, whatever you like to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. The Bible says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Verse 7, so then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Verse 8, now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now this is why we here at the church, we have organized visitation. First and third Thursdays of the month, we have men's visitation. And second and fourth Saturday, we have church-wide visitation. This is why we have tracts over here, here and here. And we ask you to carry them with you, put them in your pocket, keep them in your car, keep them in your purse, keep them with you on your person, so that when opportunity comes, remember the ground is the world, a lost person, when opportunity comes, you're able to plant or water. Now, when it comes time to your water, that means somebody else has already been planted. Somebody done come along, and they've done gave a testimony. Maybe it was just their character at work. You know, the Bible says that we are an open book, an open epistle. That's what the Scripture says. Maybe somebody at work watching you, got their eye on you. They see you go through a difficult thing. They see you get hard jobs placed upon you. They see you get put in a corner and you just take it with good and you work yourself out of it. You're always giving God glory, giving God the praise, and they got their eye on you. They're watching you. And maybe they come and they said, do you go to church? Yeah, I go to church. And you've handed them a tract. You say, here, this is where we go, and this is the time of service. Love to have you come. They never show up. But you've planted. You're planted. Somebody else comes along, and one or two things happens. We either water, or we're kicking stones upon the planted seed. And they come, you remember the thorns of life? The birds, the fowls come and pluck it out. Sometimes we other Christians are that bird. And so we've got to be careful that when we come along and somebody is there, when we come across them, and then we have a good testimony, we have a godly character about us, we put off the love of Christ, so that we can water what somebody else has planted. Or we may be the one planting. Now, I've tried to tell folks this many times, and I want you to listen to me. Whenever you have opportunity to talk to somebody about the Lord or offer them a gospel tract or spend time with them sharing the Scriptures with them, please, there is no need to fall off into vain babbling. There's no need to start into an argument with them. You're not there to sharpen a sword. You're there to plant or water. You've got to understand this. We need, as time passes, that we leave the door open so that someone else coming along will have opportunity to water. That's what we have to do. And we have to wait. We have to say, Lord, I'm not in control of this process. I'm not in the control whenever the seed comes up. It's not my responsibility to bring the increase. It's my responsibility to labor together. And as the scripture said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. The one that plants, the one that waters, we're equal. We're as one. We're working together. We're working for the same cause. It's not so that when we stand up there in heaven that we can say that, hey, look how many I got saved. Look how many I got. The Lord does all the saving. We're just instruments of use for God, and we will be rewarded for our own laborers in each person. So I can't say, well, look, I got to plant the word, and all you got to do is come along and water. The Bible says those two are one. Put a seed in the ground and don't water it. What happens? Dies, or it's already dead. It doesn't come out, doesn't germinate. Put water in the ground without no seed. Guess what happens? Water evaporates or sinks down into the earth and goes down into the underwater river systems or spring systems down underwater. It is absolutely no good if it is by itself. That's why we have to understand we are laborers together. We're not to be a stumbling block to people. We have to be very careful as God's people that we understand something, that it is our responsibility. There must be a sower, and that is our responsibility. There must be a water, and that is our responsibility. They're both as important. One doesn't oversee the other one. But what happens if we're not careful, and this is one of the Bible's very plain about this, that his own, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. If God has you being the waterer in the system at that time in that person's life, and you don't do your part, dear friend, you're not going to be part of that reward. You're not going to be part of that one that reaps there. So we all have our part to do, and we have to be very careful that we do our part. Look over in John chapter number 1. Again, hold your place in Luke, because we're coming right back there. John chapter 1 and verse 11. John chapter 1 verse 11. The Bible says, he came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, you can't will it, nor of the will of man, but of God. Listen, as much as you hope and pray and desire for someone to come to the Lord and get saved, this is the work of the Holy Spirit of God to draw them, but he uses us as instruments of sowers, to sow the seed, to sow the word, and to water, and God desires to use us in their life. And there's a process that works with corn, there's a process that works with watermelon seed, there's a process work with tomato seeds. There's a process, and the same process, dear friend, that works with them. There is a process of salvation, and it is of God. God desires to use us in that process. Listen, the mighty oak, which we see stand, was once an acorn. Just a seed. Mighty Christians that we see in our era, in our day, in our life, that reach other people, that reach out and influence other people for Christ, they were once a seed. The Word of God was planted. Somebody watered. God brought the increase. They, in turn, had a hunger and thirst for the Word of God. Somebody spent time with them, discipling, showing, training, loving them, helping them. Somebody was a Barnabas that brought them along. And they become a great witness for God. I'm going to tell you, some people have more charisma. Some people have more draw. Some people have more ability to talk with people and to show people and to share the Word of God. It's just unnatural. Some people are scared to death. Some people are just, I mean, they just draw up in a knot if they have to talk to somebody. Not just about Scripture, but about anything. And so we have to understand something. There's this process that is taking place, and the Word of God says there in Mark, back in Mark, verse number 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise at night and day, that the seed should spring forth, grow up, and he don't know how. He doesn't know how it happens. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full form of ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. We got to wait for the harvest. We can't grow weary in well-doing. Say, Pastor, I've invited folks, I've passed out tracts, I've been kind, I've been gentle. If that is not doing any good, how about being mean and hateful and snotty and ratty? You think that's going to do any good? No. With loving kindness has he drawn us. Jeremiah 31:3, right, guys? Went to camp? Jeremiah 31:3. Verse scripture they learned up there at camp this week. With an everlasting love, the Bible says. I mean, it takes time. It's a process, dear friend. And this is the kingdom of God. All this here, I'll be careful here, but God works in individual lives. Everybody is saved the same way through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it takes a little bit more reasoning with this one. A little bit more wooing of the Holy Ghost with this one. A little more convincing. You know what the Bible says? Come, let us reason together. Come, let us reason together. I think it was Brother Jack Howes. I don't know him. I never even heard him preach personally. I don't know him personally, but I'm just telling you this illustration that he said that it was almost 28 years of witnessing somebody, week by week, every week he'd go by. He passed away, and after he passed away, that person come to know the Lord as their Savior. He never saw it. He never saw it on this earth. I'm telling you, dear friend, you do not know when you plant and when you water. When you plant, when you water. What it says? The man rises up, the man goes out at night, goes into... Man, where's it? Have you ever watched grass grow? Kind of a boring job, right? You ever watch paint dry? You ever watch water boil? Seems like it ain't never going to boil, does it? There's a process. And we've got to leave that part up to God. We have to be faithful to be that planter and be that water and be part of what God wants to do. And we labor together and we let God work it out. Let God bring forth that person to reveal to them that they, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Let him see how wicked his heart is, how diverse and adverse he is away from the things of God and needing God and the kingdom of God, and let him understand that God is the only way through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes over there in verse number 30. It says this, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? And so he says, now here's something else. What can we compare? What can we like with? And he chooses a mustard seed, verse 31. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. In other words, all the other seeds, they're bigger than the mustard seed. All these other seeds are greater. They're larger. He chose to give us an example of the mustard seed. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. That the fowls may find rest under it. Now, he takes the sower, and he takes the seed, which is the word of God, and he takes the earth, which would be a person, be likened unto a person. They get saved. And they get born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, but when it's sown, it groweth up, this seed takes root. And it begins to grow. It begins to grow. What's the Bible say in Psalms? That we'll be planted by what? A river? Of water? A tree? And we bring forth fruit in what? In our seasons? And fruit, see, fruit is part of this process. These birds, I'm not sure why God put them there, but I thought about this. I pondered this. These birds are neither part of the seed. They're neither part of the fruit. Birds can be pretty nasty, can't they? You ever seen a bird on a statue? Man, they leave some nasty stuff. Chickens just get in my shed down there and get all over my tools. I've got to clean all my tools up before I can even use them because they're nasty. And I believe in our life that the Word of God will take root in our life and it will grow in our life and we can grow. But if we're not careful, we'll get so big, we'll get so shady, we'll get so out there. If we're not careful, we let these little birds get in there. And they mess up our life. They mess up these things are not part of the Word, not part of the fruit, not part of the seed. God desires for us to grow. But we've got to be careful about those little things trying to take shade underneath us. Be careful about things. You know, the Bible says, I think it's Ecclesiastes, the little foxes spoil the vineyard. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know, the Bible says over in Matthew that there is wheat and there's tares. And they look almost identical. They look almost alike. Until they're ready for the harvest. And they put the sickle to them. Because there's a lot of counterfeit stuff. If we're not careful, there'll be little birds in our life. The little birds robbing the shade. Be very careful. The kingdom of God is like, I mean, God desires that it grows. So you look at the first church there at Jerusalem. It started out with just 120 people. A few chapters later, 3,000 people. A few chapters later, it was 5,000. A few chapters later, it was multitudes. A few chapters later, God said, okay, y'all not scattering. You got all these birds. I'll scatter you. Be careful. So we get so comfortable. We get in our comfortable zone. We get everybody all gathered up around us. Comfortable. That's not how it's supposed to be. We've got to get out from under the tree every now and then. We've got to sow the Word of God. We've got to take that seed, take that fruit. We pull that fruit and we cut it. We dissect it and we get out the seed. We put the seed out to dry and we keep it over there and we keep it apart. And we let the sun beat down upon it. And then some months later, some weeks later, some years later, we put it in the ground so it can draw up. What happens if there are birds all around us? They eat all the seed, don't they? Eat all the fruit. Back up in the four stages, didn't it say which stage was it that birds come around and eat it up? Stony ground, right? Stony ground, let's see. Sun scorched it, root and it's gonna choke it out. That's the thorns. Oh, fowls there, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. I was looking for birds, and I kept seeing fowls. I was like, what is these fowls for? They're birds, that's why. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell on the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Be very careful. There's a process. Sometimes we get comfortable. Sometimes it's, oh, man, we've got us about 100. We're okay. We got plenty of shade. Bills paid, you know, everything's cared for. We got us about 12 missionaries. We got us some shade. We're okay. Some cruising ground. Before long, little birds start. You know what happens to a church if they don't reach out and grow from outward? I hate to be so deep with you guys. We're not all going to live forever. If God tarries 100 years, how many of you think all of us will be sitting right here in Lock Haven? Just 100 years. Oh, surely he's not going to wait 100 years. Well, he's been gone over 2,000 now. Lord, come quickly, Lord, even so right now before I finish. That's my prayer. You read the epistles. The writers of the epistles thought he was coming then. It's been a long time since, Scripture was penned. Just bear with me. 100 years passed, and we don't reach nobody else. When do you think Lock Haven's door will be closed now? Brother Ray, I'd say in 50 years. Nobody else. And we remain faithful. Everybody here is faithful to the end. What, 50 years maybe? We've got to be careful of these little birds. God's plan was never for us to be comfortable. It was to be busy. He said, occupy till I come. That's what the Scripture says. Occupy till I come. So we grow that. See, boy, God grows us. We're a Christian that is bringing shade and shadow and protection to others. But if we're not careful, dear friend, branches begin to wither. Brother Jim, just correct me if I'm wrong. You'd probably know this more than anybody in here. Too much bird poop around a tree will do what? Kill it. Some of you got a little bit too much bird poop around your feet. Take some water, wash your feet off. Get busy with God. Not trying to. I just tell you, this is the picture. And then, of course, it goes into this awesome storm. I spent a couple of weeks ago on this on a sermon out of this portion, so I won't spend a long time, but I do want to just point out a few things. this was kind of a strange proposal there in verse 35. 35 through 41, if you look at it real quick. And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. This is the proposal. This is what Jesus proposed to them. Let's get the ship and let's pass over. Now think with me for a moment. He's God. Surely he knew this storm was coming. But he still said, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. God knows what your tomorrow holds. God knows the storm in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. God knows what the morrow holds at hand for you. And God says, let's go. He'll calm your storm. God knows. I mean, it's strange. I mean, it's an awesome storm. I mean, this is an awesome. Matter of fact, verse 37, listen to what it says here. And this, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat unto the ship, so that it was now full. Now, I don't know if that was I didn't break down the English here good enough, but I'm thinking in my mind, there's one or two things that are full. The ship's full of water, or the storm's full of itself. You English people dissect and tell me later which one it is. But either way, it's an awesome storm. I mean, this is a great storm. It's a storm that's filled up the ship, or it's full of itself. You know, whenever the hurricanes come, you know, we just had Matthew pass by here, boy, I mean, they're talking about it, one is a hurricane full of itself. I think they call it a Cat 5 or beyond. It's full of rage. What happens to a boat that's full of water? This is a storm. Listen, he wanted them to see that the Christian life will always, the Christian will always have storms that come into your life. But he didn't leave. He didn't check out on them. Well, Pastor, I don't think he could have checked. Oh, wait a minute. There's another verse over there where he told them, I am before Abraham was. And they took up stones to kill him. And the Bible says he went out before he left up out of there. Just disappeared. He put his head on a pillow. In modern day language, he done bought him a sleep number bed in the front of the ship, the back of the ship, wherever he was laid, and got him a pillow, and he's knocked out cold. He's not leaving. Jesus said, and this is sometimes what we forget. What did Jesus say in verse 35? Let us pass over unto the... That was his word. Brother Dwayne, he'd say, hey, let's turn this thing into a submarine. Jesus had told him we're going to the other side. I don't know why in the world we as God's people doubt his word. You know why this storm came to this situation? So you and I could see that God and Jesus is a man of their word. He says, I'm going to the other side. Come on, let's get together. Let's go on the other side. We're headed out there. Jesus himself was with them that they might, that they had seen the powerful miracles that he'd already wrought in their presence. Jesus said, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. You have this awesome storm, then all of a sudden there's this awesome calm. That's because we have an awesome God. That's how it works. Listen, they learned a great lesson in this chapter. Verse 41, look what it says. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him? They learned a great lesson. When's the last time God done something in your life? Calmed your life. Calmed your storm. Calmed the situation in your life. When he calms it, it's so that you can learn the lesson. So that when them other greater storms come in your life, you can find peace in the midst of the storm. Dude, this is a strange question. Carest thou not that we're going to die? That's what they asked the Lord. He done told them, come to me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. They had a great job ahead of them. Listen, we need to get to the point that we believe the Lord and his word. Just believe it. Father, we thank you.